Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson Victor Bring. Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB. Inside MLB.
Good evening, Inside MLB fans. My name is Benson Fector, and I will be your host tonight, along with my partner, Will McElhatton, which we'll be bringing on right now. All right, so we have a new format that we're going to be doing on Inside MLB. In the past, it's sort of been just we'd cover like a power ranking for the day, and we just try to get a lot of topics in. But today, and for the rest of Inside MLB's foreseen history, what we're going to be doing is be going around the horn. So pretty much, we're going to start at the AL East, go to the AL Central, to the AL West, do the same for the National League. It's going to be a process where we'll take 15 minutes per division and move on. So Will McElhatton will be back to help us out with that on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. So just to get the formatting out of the way and the schedule out of the way so you know when to tune in, that's all there. But now we actually have to start talking about some baseball on this fabulous Monday. And this past Sunday, actually, the Phillies defeated the University of Tampa Bay in their first exhibition game of the year. So just a little tidbit to throw in. But we're going to start with talking about the Blue Jays and how Drew Storen may be the early favorite for the closer job. So, Will, what's your take on Drew Storen battling it out for the closer this spring?
I think that he will be a good fit for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays, as you know, they're high-powered offense, but their pitching definitely is not up to par with their batting. But I think a reliever like Storen competing for the closing job is definitely something to look forward for Blue Jays.
And the way Drew Storen came to the Blue Jays, again, traded from the Nationals to the Blue Jays for Ben Revere. Now, some may say it was to appease Jonathan Papelbon, who somehow became the closer last year when the Nationals traded for him. But that's not really the point. The point here is the battle for Drew Storen to become the closer in Toronto and how team officials are saying he's the early favorite. Now, according to baseballreference.com, he's projected to have 13 saves and a 3.41 ERA. So that's not all-star level stuff, but it's still good enough for him to be the favorite now for that closer job, which I think he should win in the end, as long as he doesn't stumble through spring training, which the games really start tomorrow. So we'll see how Drew Storen does there. Is there anything else you'd like to say about him, Will?
No, I mean, last year, 29 saves, 55 innings work. I think he can definitely make his mark in Toronto.
All right. So let's move to Rafael Soriano. He recently signed a minor league contract with the Blue Jays yesterday and was invited to spring training. What's your take?
I think that's just another piece for the Blue Jays on their trying to get more pitching. So I think he will be a good fit for Toronto.
Okay. So Rafael Soriano sort of bounced around the league a bit. The Yankees, the Nationals. He's been a decent closer everywhere he's gone. But I think this is a pretty good sign for the Blue Jays. It gives him nice minor league depth, and there's always injuries in baseball. So when somebody does get injured, I believe Rafael Soriano, if he makes that 40-man roster, will be able to be called up to the major league team and succeed in a middle reliever role, could possibly be set up and in dire needs could fill as a closer. Now, baseballreference.com predicted he'd have a 3.97 ERA in the major leagues. So, obviously, I think he's going to get time. I think he could, in fact, win a reliever spot on the Blue Jays big league club because, I mean, he's been around the league for a while. Everybody knows that. And he just flat out knows how to pitch. And it's just good depth for a team that really isn't known for their pitching. Will?
Yeah, I like the Blue Jays don't have the depth, but I think Rafael Soriano, a piece that will fit well, definitely gives more experience to their bullpen, and we could definitely see him being a reliever in the near future for that.
Okay, let's move to the Orioles. And outfielder and first baseman Efren Navarro was designated for assignment by the Orioles on Thursday, cleared for waivers, and was outrighted at AAA Norfolk on Sunday. Will, what's your take?
I think this is a good move for the Orioles for just a lot of good reasons. So, yeah.
Okay, so Efren Navarro, again, baseball reference, is projected to have a .252 batting average, 4 home runs, and 24 RBIs. So, I think Efren Navarro, the reason why he was designated for assignment on Thursday was because of the recent signing of Giovanni Gallardo. They had to make room for him. Cleared by waivers, could have been picked up by any team. And now that he's at AAA, Norfolk, he'll be able to develop his game more. And in case of injuries and the Orioles big league club, or somebody just doesn't pan out, Efren Navarro will easily be able to step in, give that .250 batting average when needed. He has decent pop. He'll be able to drive in a couple RBIs. It's just another good depth piece by the Orioles. And when I was watching Hot Stove this morning, I saw that the Orioles, they had the third highest spending this year out of any clubs. And the Orioles really aren't known for spending much. So that's just a quick little fact about the Orioles that really surprised me. Well,
yeah, definitely. The Orioles, I mean, they've had some good runs in past years, but they definitely don't seem like the big spender teams like the Dodgers, Yankees, etc.
Okay, let's move on to the Red Sox and how outfielder David Murphy reportedly reached an agreement on a minor league contract with the Boston Red Sox. What's your take?
Who was that? David Murphy?
Yes.
I think he's a good player. I think the Red Sox can use him well in an experienced outfield. So I think he will be a position that serves well for.
Okay. So David Murphy last played for the Angels in left field, the place that the Angels are still trying to figure out. Right now, the Angels, they have Daniel Nava possibly in there, Robert Cunningham. But let's talk about the Red Sox and how I think this is a nice depth piece as baseball reference projection, they're hitting .254, 11 home runs, 51 RBIs. Dan Murphy could easily fill into that outfield spot. And that outfield right now obviously contains superstar Mookie Betts. And if Mookie Betts does not fill to the hype, although I think he will, outfielder David Murphy will be able to fill in nicely for him at Fenway Park and with a short fence and left of the Green Monster. I think it will be a nice place for him to hit when he does get called up in case of injury or in case of just not really succeeding at the major league level. I think it's a good move. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the biggest splash. It's not David Price. It's just not. But if you're a true baseball fan, you understand that's a good organizational move for the Boston Red Sox. All right, fans, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we'll be talking about the National League East, the Braves, and the Mets. That's next. Fans, from YouTube, being part of the show, if you just called 713-955-0677. Inside MLB. We've been talking about the American League East with the Blue Jays and Drew Storen, Rafael Soriano, the Orioles and Efren Navarro, and the Red Sox and David Murphy. But now it's time to move into the National League East. And to start things off, we are going to be talking about the Braves and how Freddie Freeman finally is taking live batting practice. Now, Freddie Freeman really is practically the only star left in Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves have just made so many moves and trades to get the young pitching talent that they have right now. I just think that Freddie Freeman needs some people around him for him to succeed. But with his wrist and how it's a bit shaky, the Braves could really be in for a long season. I think Freddie Freeman will have a good year. He could have a lot better of a year if he had people around him. But this is just going to be a long year for the Braves. But they're about to explode. They're about to be to that next level. The pitching talent that they've acquired, and especially in the deal with the Braves, with Shelly Miller, how they got back Ender Inciarte, how they got back Blair, how they got back Dansby Swanson. That was a great trade for the Braves if you're a rebuilding team. I loved that trade. But now, I think, look for next year for the Braves. Look for their new stadium. That's what fans seem to be hoping for. Well, what's your take?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's pretty obvious. The Braves are going to be in for a long one this year. And, I mean, for Freddie Freeman, he needs bats around him to produce the way that we've seen him produce when the Braves were a better team. I think he's still going to put up impressive numbers, especially for the situation that he's in. But I think that it's sort of disappointing that we might not see his full potential definitely this year because just the environment that he is in.
I mean, just a couple years back, I can still remember Freddie Freeman batting in the playoffs. I mean, the Braves weren't a bad team like that far ago. So this team, they're in a rebuilding state of mind, but are looking to improve. Let's move to the Mets. And Curtis Granderson is dealing with an eye issue that could possibly hold him back for the first week or so of spring training. I mean, baseball players need their eyes, but I don't think this is going to be that big of a deal going into the future for the Mets. Well,
yeah, I agree with that.
So let's talk about Curtis Granderson and what he's going to be this year. Baseball Reference projects him batting 240, 20 home runs, and 60 RBIs. I mean, that's a pretty good season. Curtis Granderson had a much better season last year than he's had with his previous season with the Mets since he signed his big deal. But I think he now has the pieces around him to succeed. The Mets outfield is nice. Michael Conforto, Curtis Granderson, Yoenis Cespedes. It's nice. So Curtis Granderson now has the bats around him to succeed. He has protection. And I think that's going to be a nice year for Curtis Granderson. And Baseball Reference, I think, hit it on the spot. 20 home runs, 60 to 70 RBIs, batting like 240 to 260. That's going to be a pretty good year for Curtis Granderson.
Yep.
Well.
Yeah, Curtis Granderson. Looking to see.
Okay,
what
so
happens.
Besides that, with the Mets, I just think that Curtis Granderson is one in the line of what we were thinking about as an awful offense last year into what is a dangerous offense this year. Again, their outfield, Yoenis Cespedes, Michael Conforto, and then Curtis Granderson. Now they have Neil Walker in the middle infield with this Drubal Cabrera. They'll have Wilmer Flores, Ruben Tejada. Even though they are losing Juan Uribe to the Indians, who they traded for, this team is still pretty good. Let's talk about now former Mets outfielder Andrew Brown announced his retirement from baseball today. Now, in case you do not know who Andrew Brown is, in an average season, he would bat for 220, has 16 home runs and 51 RBIs. But what's your take on Andrew Brown's announcement?
I'm going to be honest here, Benson. I don't know.
Okay, so Andrew Brown, he started his like big league career in 2011. That's when he really came onto the scene as a player in the major leagues. And as I said, he last played for the New York Mets. He also played for the Cardinals and the Rockies, drafted by the Cardinals. He was relatively young, too, only 29 years old. So I just think that it's a guy who had a bit of hype, but really never panned out. He didn't play more than 68 games ever in a year, and that was in 2013 with the Mets. But again, those numbers, 220, 16 home runs, 51 RBIs, are if you would have actually played 162 games. So what his actual, like, best average he ever posted was in 2012 with the Colorado Rockies. He hit 232. The most home runs he ever hit, 2013, he hit 7 for the Mets. And that year he also had 24 RBIs. So he was sort of an organizational depth guy that the Mets will not necessarily miss since he didn't even play last year. But I just think it was an interesting move for Andrew Brown to call it a quits already. Let's move into talking about how infielder Juan Uribe signed a one-year, $4 million deal with the Indians yesterday. Well, what's your take?
Juan Uribe?
Yes.
I mean, he has bounced around a lot. He was only, what, 3 different teams last year, and he just can't really find a fit that I feel comfortable. But I think Juan Uribe, I mean, he was, I think he'll be productive for the Mets. And I just think this is just more positive for the Mets, who already are looking to have a big year.
Just to inform you, Juan Uribe is on the Indians. Just talking about it because he was a former Met. But anyway, Juan Uribe really found his niche with San Francisco Giants. He was a key part of that team for their World Series years. Moved to the Dodgers. Pretty good player there. Then moved to the Braves. Then came to the Mets with Kelly Johnson. Did well for the Mets. So he sort of bounced around the big leagues. A lot of people did think he'd actually be going back to San Francisco to have a reunion with them. I personally thought he might have been headed back there too. But I think it'll be nice for the Indians. And actually what this does for the Indians is it forces Giovanni Ursula, who was expected to be their starter, it forces him to the minors now. So, I mean, this is a good deal for everybody except Giovanni Ursula and his family. Besides that, I like the move. It's a buy low, like high reward sort of deal, which is nice for a team like the Indians, who are just looking to survive until Michael Brantley comes back this year. All right, fans, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the American League Central and the Indians with Abraham Almonte and Giovanni Ursula, along with the Royals and Kendrys Morales. That's next. Fans, we're YouTube, part of the show. If you just call 713-955-0677. Inside MLB, we've been talking about the National League East and how Freddie Freeman is finally taking live batting practice. We've been talking about the Mets and how, with Curtis Granderson's eye issue, former Mets outfielder Andrew Brown retiring, and Juan Uribe going from the Mets to the Indians. But now,
it's time to talk about
the American League Central and the Indians. So the first thing that we're going to be talking about with the Indians, Will, is how Abraham Almonte has been suspended for 80 games for PED use. Now, Abraham Almonte was expected to fill in for Michael Brantley while he is recovering from his injury. But instead, there is no Abraham Almonte anymore. Will, what is your take on Abraham Almonte's ignorance to the team? And how would the Indians prevail without him until Michael Brantley comes back?
Well, first of all, was Arian Almonte, was he on the Padres?
Yes, he was.
Now, I have a story about my man Abraham Almonte, but I'm not going to get that. All right, AA's got to get his priorities straight. If he wants to be a big-time name in the MLB, he's got to act like it, and doing this is not act like it.
Okay, so, obviously, what the Indians, I think, are now trying to do, just survive until Michael Brantley comes back. They need to just hang around the 500 mark until Brantley comes back. Now, obviously, Baseball Prospectus didn't pick the Indians to win the AL Central with a full year from Abraham Almonte. But before he was suspended, he was projected to hit 252, 8 home runs, and 33 RBIs. It's not bad, but it's not what you look for to win the American League Central. So even though that Almonte was supposed to be a big piece early in the year, I think the Indians will be able to overcome it, and if they can just hang around that 500 mark, they will be able to succeed this year and possibly get back to the playoffs, which will be nice to see. Let's talk about now Giovanni Ursula from the Indians, how he appears set to start the season at AAA Columbus now that the Indians have finalized the deal with Juan Uribe. Now, Will, Giovanni Ursula, as we were talking about a little bit before, being hurt by this Juan Uribe deal, really was sort of a organizational depth piece before Juan Uribe was signed. But now that he was signed, he's going right back to the minor leagues. And I think it's good for him for his development, but obviously his mindset is probably not where he wants it to be right now. Well.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that's a good
fit. So Giovanni Ursula had a projected this year to have a 244 batting average, hit 9 home runs and 31 RBIs. That's probably changed since this one Uribe deal has been finalized. But I think that if he did stay and played a full season at third base for the Indians, he could have developed his talent and moved along with some of the pieces in that Indian system that are looking to become some offensive threats. Giovanni Ursula, Abraham Almonte. Now that those two young players are sort of like gone, it's more about just surviving again until Michael Brantley gets there. And I think this AL Central is going to be a fascinating division to, like, watch, just see who will be able to succeed. Because the whole entire division, top to bottom, has gotten better, pretty much. And whoever comes out on top is definitely going to need to earn it. Let's talk about the Royals and Kendrys Morales, how he sat out Sunday and Monday with the flu, but Ned Yost expects him to return to camp Tuesday. Now, Will, obviously the flu goes away, but what is your take with Kendrys Morales? He is aging a bit, and the fact that he has a flu, it's going to slow his normal production spring training. Do you think this is going to hinder him at all this year, or is this just a little roadblock?
I think it's going to be how he attacks this. He plays it off, and what I think he will do, I think he'll just play it off and not make a big deal about it, especially in spring training. You're just really getting back into shape if you haven't or in the off season. So I think that if he doesn't come to this and realize that this can affect his whole season, especially his preparation before the season starts, and I think this will be a longer roadblock than what he expects it to be.
So Kendrys Morales, again, this is a flu. He'll be back tomorrow, as Ned Yost expects. And he'll go on to have, I think, a 20 home run season, 75 RBIs, batting 275. It's going to be a pretty good year for Kendrys Morales. eventually his talent is going to fade. That's obvious. But it's nice that he's a designated hitter in American League Club. It really is nice. And those 20 home runs that I think is going to hit for the Royals, they'd be really inflated if they were practically anywhere else. Because the Royals' home stadium is really not known for the hitter. So it's just nice that Kendrys Morales is fine with a team like the Royals that need him. The fans love him there. And he's going to be a nice guy in the middle of the order who has guys around him, and he will have a great year for the Royals this year. Will?
Yeah, I can see that.
So let's just talk about the Royals a little bit as a whole. We see them, and I think their window for winning is closing pretty fast. And one of those reasons may be Kendrys Morales and how his career is coming to a close. But the Royals do have to pay a lot of people a lot of money coming up. They won't be able to afford all of that. And Kendrys Morales is going to be retiring when that comes. Okay, Inside MLB fans, we have to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to be talking about the Cardinals and Carlos Martinez, along with Steven Piscotty, and the Pirates, and Jameson Taillon, who pitched 2 innings today in the black and gold game for the Pirates. That's next. Fans from YouTube, be a part of the show. You should give us a call at 713-955-0677. Macklot will not be joining us for the rest of the show, so it will just be me and Spectre giving you the rest of the show. So let's talk about the Cardinals and Carlos Martinez. He is on track for opening day. Now, he's been injured a bit and really needs to step up this year with the absence of Lance Lynn. The Cardinals, their rotation. The Cardinals' rotation this year, I think what's going to look like, right? It's going to have, obviously, their ace, Adam Wainwright, on top. That's kind of obvious. It's going to have a newly acquired pitcher. What's his name? Anyway, Mike Leake and Carlos Martinez. It's not going to be a bad rotation, but with the fact that they're also going to have Jaime Garcia, and the absence of John Lackey, it might not be the best year for Cardinals fans out there. Just keep that in mind. But again, according to Baseball Reference, Martinez is supposed to have a 9-6 record, a 3.43 ERA. So that'll be nice for him. I think it's going to be a good season. Those are not bad numbers, but good numbers. And last year, if you recall, Carlos Martinez didn't even start the season in the rotation. So his development's been going pretty good. He'll be there for opening day, probably start the second or third game, and he'll be a nice story for the Cardinals if he does well. Because the Cardinals, it just feels like they always come up with the aces. Adam Wainwright's career is slowly coming to an end, right? But could Carlos Martinez be the guy that fills in for Adam Wainwright, just like there have been people that filled in, just like Adam Wainwright filled in for Chris Carpenter? Carlos Martinez could be that guy. And that's obviously what the Cardinals are hoping for. But also in the minors, there's a guy named Reyes. And Reyes was Hugh suspended for 50 games this year. He also could be the guy that fills in and steps in. So interesting there. But the Cardinals rotation is going to need Carlos Martinez, it's going to need Mike Leake, and it's going to need Adam Wainwright, along with Tommy Garcia, to stay healthy. Let's talk about now Stephen Piscotty and how he returns after food poisoning. This is sort of an interesting story. Stephen Piscotty, obviously this food poisoning happens to him, and he's back. It's kind of funny how all these weird spring training injuries. And the first injury of spring training this year happened with a guy trying to get a pit out of an avocado. Hurt himself getting the pit out of an avocado. So a lot of weird injuries and weird stuff happens in spring training. Kendrys Morales with the flu, avocado, the eye with Curtis Granderson, and now food poisoning with Stephen Piscotty. It's a bit strange. He needs to step up this year. Him and Randall Grichuk, if they don't step up for the Cardinals, they won't have the Cardinals of the future, which most Cardinals fans are not going to like me hearing that, me saying that. They still have Matt Holliday, but Matt Holliday, he's old. His injuries are going to become a factor pretty soon, and Piscotty and Grichuk need to step up. I think Piscotty is going to hit about 10 home runs this year, 50 RBIs, bat 290. Be a solid year for him. So let's talk about the Pirates and Jameson Taillon. He completed two innings of an interstate game today, which is called the Black and Gold Game, and has been told to be progressing well early in spring training. Jameson Taillon, it feels like, has been in the Pirates organization forever. He was there before Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole's already succeeding. He's already the ace of the Pirates. But Jameson Taillon had to get Tommy John surgery, which limited him from actually playing. So now that he's in big league camp, has a legitimate chance with Tyler Glasnow to come up and have a good year in the long relief role and possibly spot starting. I think it's finally Jameson Taillon's turn along with Gerrit Cole. And for so long, so many Pirates analyses picked Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon to be the 1-2 punch atop the rotation of the future. And I feel like this is a year, the first stepping stone to Jameson Taillon getting there. But the Pirates better be careful. If Jameson Taillon doesn't get there fast enough, though, Gerrit Cole could already be on his way out. Now, if you've heard the story of late, Gerrit Cole from the Pirates want to pay him $451,000. Why would you want to pay a guy who I thought was going to be Cy Young earlier in the year $451,000? I know he's young, and a lot of players that are young are paid less than the early 30 guys, late 20s. But Gerrit Cole deserves a lot more than $500,000. He's an ace. Not some organizational depth guy that should be being paid $500,000. All right, fans, we have to take a break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the AL West with Ian Desmond for the Rangers, Daeho Lee for the Mariners, and the whole Athletics pitching rotation duel. That's next. Fans from YouTube being part of the show, if you can just call 713-955-0677. And inside MLB, we've been talking about the National League Central. Carlos Martinez, how he's on track for opening day, Stephen Piscotty returning after food poisoning, and Jameson Taillon competing well in the Pirates Black and Gold game today. But now it's time to talk about the AL West. And the AL West is crazy right now. This is the most interesting division for fans in spring training. Now, one of the interesting things that's already gone down during the spring training season is Ian Desmond signing the one-year contract with the Rangers. Now, John Heyman of CBS Sports eventually reported at the beginning of the offseason that Ian Desmond would be getting $90 million. And a lot of people thought $90 million repaid by the San Diego Padres. John Heyman was wrong. Everybody was wrong. But now, Ian Desmond, really late in the offseason. I mean, the spring training games start tomorrow. It's really early in the season, or really late in the offseason. But Ian Desmond finally has a team. Now, he's obviously going to be competing for time with Elvis Andrews, who's going to be the starting shortstop. At least, that's what I predict. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Ian Desmond does for the Texas Rangers. Let's talk about the Mariners now. And how Daeho Lee recently said that he won't stick with the Mariners if he does not win the right-handed platoon job, as he has a late March opt-out clause in his contract. So Daeho Lee, his entire career has been spent in the KBO and in Japan. He's done pretty well in those leagues. Daeho Lee, the most home runs he ever hit in a year, was 44 home runs. He had 44 home runs, 133 RBIs in 2010. That's a ton of home runs, a ton of RBIs. And the Mariners picked him up for one reason. When they got Adam Lind from the Brewers, they know that Adam Lind, as a lefty, cannot hit the lefty pitcher. You just can't. So it's nice to see that Daeho Lee, if he can win that platoon job, to see what he can do in the majors. Because it feels like a ton of teams are getting guys from Korea. The Pirates were the first one to dip into that KBO when they got Jung Ho Gun. And everybody saw how well Jung Ho Gun did. It was really fascinating. Me as a Pirates fan, I didn't really know what to expect from Jung Ho Gun at the beginning of 2015. But at the end, he was beloved. When he came out on his wheelchair during the NL wildcard game, standing ovation, the black towels twirling. Everybody loves Jung Ho Gun in Pittsburgh now. It's just amazing now to see Byung-ho Park go to the Twins, Hyun-soo Kim go to the Orioles, and now Daeho Lee to the Mariners. They could be one of the special KBO players. Let's talk about the Athletics and their whole pitching rotation debacle that they have. We have Chris Bassitt, who appears to be a favorite to start the year in the A's rotation. You have Kendall Graveman, and you have Felix DuBrant, along with Henderson Alvarez. And the really only guy top of that is Sonny Gray. There's also Jesse Hahn in there, too. So this A's rotation is all messed up, but Chris Bassitt, he appears to be a favorite. He appears to be the guy on top. Now, according to Baseball Reference, he doesn't seem to have that good of numbers. 3-7 record, 3.80 ERA. So it's just sort of weird to see how he appears to be on top, because those numbers really aren't that good. 3-7 losses is not going to cut it in the major leagues today. But that 3.8 ERA isn't that bad. So it'll be interesting to see how Chris Bassitt fares for the Athletics during spring training. If he can win that job, which it appears he will right now, and then continue that into April, May, and the rest of the year. If he can do that, great. The Athletics have gotten another buy-low, high-reward guy. Billy Bean has done it again, you could say. But Billy Bean is going to have to get a lot of luck on this one for his rotation to pan out to be one of the best in the league. But if Chris Bassitt can do it again, it'll be great. So let's just get a head start a bit on talking about Kendall Graveman. And right now, he appears to have an inside track for a spot in that A's rotation, which is interesting. Again, Kendall Graveman, he is interesting because he has that inside track. He has the ability to be in the ace rotation. Kendall Graveman, I think, has better numbers, projected better numbers, than Chris Bassitt. Kendall Graveman is projected at go 6-7 with a 3.98 ERA. That's pretty good. That's worth a 5 in most rotations. Could be worth a 4 in the Athletics. And in some rotations, it could be worth a long reliever role. But if those numbers pan out, if those numbers pan out for the Athletics as Kendall Graveman, it'll be pretty nice to see. And another guy that's sort of being left out of this whole thing is Felix DuBrunt. Right now, he's a clear front runner to be the first replacement, not the first guy in for the A's rotation, should the need occur. And I think the need might occur. And Felix DuBrunt could still win an A's rotation spot. And again, there's four guys competing for A's rotation spots. Chris Bassitt, Kendall Graveman, Felix DuBrunt, Henderson Alvarez, who is still recovering from shoulder surgery, which he underwent last July. So the fact that this ace rotation is just such a logjam, just has so many people in it, it's just going to be an interesting team to watch. It's probably the most interesting team to watch in spring training. Even though Felix DuBrunt will probably start the season in AAA, the fact that he's going to be at Big League Camp competing for a spot on all those guys is fascinating. All right, fans, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB Back. When we come back, we'll be talking about our last division, the NL West, the Dodgers, and Adrian Gonzalez with his neck injury, Justin Turner recovering from his knee injury, Clayton Kershaw being announced the opening day starter for the sixth consecutive year, the D-backs signing Ricky Weeks to a minor league deal, so Carlos Brito having a chance to start in left field, Matt Reynolds doing healthy this year, Wellington Castillo, his workload will be monitored, and the Rockies' Ben Paulson appearing to be on the large side of a platoon at first base. That's next.
If man is the father, the sun is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe, then why is this verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much, but I write them like such.
Word.
Amongst the fiends controlled by the screen, what does it all mean, all this shit I'm seeing? Human beings screaming vocal javelin, line of a local unraveling.
Uh-huh. My wandering got my... We are back in Inside MLB, and right now we were just talking about the American League West. With the Rangers and Ian Desmond, the Mariners and Daeho Lee, the Athletics and their whole pitching rotation that's being fought out for right now. But now, it's time to move to the National League side of the West. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is how the Dodgers' is first baseman, Adrian Gonzalez, and his neck injury. He returned to the field today, which is nice. I think Adrian Gonzalez is here. He's going to bat around 275, 25 home runs, and could push that 100 RBI mark. That's a pretty good season. Gonzalez, ever since coming over from the Red Sox in that big deal, has just been amazing for the Dodgers. And maybe this will finally be the year of the Dodgers crack that World Series win for the first time since 1988. Maybe Adrian Gonzalez will lead them there. Maybe it'll be Yasiel Puig or their new rotation, you could say, with losing Zach Greinke. But Adrian Gonzalez, if they do make it to that World Series, is definitely going to be a key factor. There's no doubt about that. As long as Adrian Gonzalez succeeds, hits at least 270, hits at least 20 home runs, has at least 80 RBIs, the Dodgers team is going to be good. He'll be batting third in that lineup. And as long as the pieces around him do well, as long as his neck injury doesn't affect him that much this year, because he is aging, he will do well for the Dodgers. And it will be nice, I think, for the Dodgers to hopefully get over that hump. I just keep talking about that. That big 1988 World Series hump that they've been attempting to get over for so long. And it's nice to see what's been going on to help improve that possibility. And again, baseball is all about health. Adrian Gonzalez stays healthy. The Dodgers stay healthy. The Dodgers do well. If not, you never know. Interesting to see. All right, we have a caller who's calling right now. We'll bring him right on. You are live on Inside MLB. How you doing? Hello? We have a caller on Inside MLB who's on right now. How are you doing? Okay, it appears he doesn't want to talk right now, but we still have baseball to get to, right? And we have to talk about Justin Turner and his knee injury and how, according to Dodgers manager, he'll be held out of the first week of spring training action. So just the fact that he'll be held out might slow his usual routine, but it'll be good once he goes back. Justin Turner was really an amazing story last year. Amazing story. Most people didn't even see him doing well, yet he turned into one of the most important players on the Dodgers organization. Again, baseball is all about staying healthy. It just is. If a couple of guys get hurt and you don't have the depth to match that, then it's going to be hard for your team to succeed. As long as Adrian Gonzalez stays healthy, as long as Justin Turner stays healthy, they will do well. I think Justin Turner is getting around 295 this year, 15, 20 home runs, have about 60 RBIs. Pretty good year. He will do well. Mark my words. He will. Along with Adrian Gonzalez and hopefully manager Dave Roberts, be able to get to Yasiel Puig. And if Yasiel Puig can do well under Dave Roberts will be looked like as a god. Because Don Mattingly certainly couldn't do it. Will Yasiel Puig? It'll be interesting to see, I think. But Dave Roberts needs to connect with him immediately. Immediately. If he wants to have a chance with succeeding with Yasiel Puig. Let's move to how left-handed pitcher Clayton Kershaw will make his sixth consecutive opening day start for the Dodgers on April 4th in San Diego. There's no doubt in anybody's mind who was going to be taking the ball on April 4th in San Diego. Was it going to be Kent Maeda? It just wasn't. It was going to be Clayton Kershaw for the sixth straight year. Besides that, there's not really much to say about that. Let's talk about his season, what he's going to be having. I think you could reasonably see 15 to 20 wins, reasonably see a sub-2.5 ERA. He's a great guy, great player. And this past year, people were complaining. Like, this isn't Clayton Kershaw numbers. But yeah, he had a fantastic year. The National League had a fantastic year of pitching. Zach Greinke, Jake Arrieta, Clayton Kershaw. Fantastic pitcher. Yeah, people were complaining that Clayton Kershaw wasn't being, well, Clayton Kershaw. This year, I think it's going to be a more Clayton Kershaw-esque type of season. He's going to start hot. He's going to get his strikeouts. He might get the 300 strikeouts again this year. He is a legend in Los Angeles. He'll continue to be a legend in Los Angeles. Again, as long as he gets over that 1988 World Series hump, he will be a legend. No doubt about that in my mind. Let's move to the Diamondbacks and how utility man Ricky Weeks signed a minor league deal with the Diamondbacks on Saturday and received an invitation to spring training. When I think of Ricky Weeks, I think of the dreadlocks at second base in Miller Park. When I think of Ricky Weeks, I sort of think of the bad days from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because when the Pirates played Ricky Weeks and the Brewers, Pirates did not do well in Miller Park. But the past couple of years, I've been looking around the league. Like, where has Ricky Weeks gone to? Now I see him again, being signed by the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks just recently acquired Gene Segura, also a former Brewer. Although Ricky Weeks and Gene Segura never play together, when I look at the field out there, if they both are on the field together, which could be a very likely possibility if Ricky Weeks succeeds with the invitation to spring training, it would be pretty cool. This is an organizational depth move. I think he's going to bat, you know, around 235, 10 home runs, 30 RBIs. It's going to be what you expect out of a solid guy off the bench. Start here and there, play third base, shortstop, second base, his main position, second base. He'll be able to bounce around the infield. I like Ricky Weeks. I think it's a good move. And the shortstop, the new Diamondback shortstop, Gene Segura, he's hopefully going to bounce back in the desert. Now Miller Park and in the desert in Arizona have similar hitting climate. So we'll see how Gene Segura does there. I'll talk more about the Diamondbacks and how Socrates Brito has a chance to start in left. Now, the Diamondbacks outfield right now has Yasmani Tomas, who I'll get to right now. Yasmani Tomas signed to a big deal, did live up to the expectations this past year. But now that Ender Inciarte has been traded, it's going to be expected that Yasmani Tomas has a good year. It just will be. Now, the outfield, what it's supposed to look like is Yasmani Tomas, David Peralta, and A.J. Pollock. But a new thing is coming out there that Socrates Brito could have a chance to start left. Now, what I think Yasmani Tomas could move to third base. Yasmani Tomas moves to third base could be interesting. And the outfielder would be Socrates Brito, David Peralta, and A.J. Pollock. It would be interesting. I think if that did happen, I think Socrates, bat around 270, hit 10 home runs, 25 RBIs. It wouldn't be a bad year. It wouldn't be a great year. Be an average year. It would. Socrates Brito is not a name that's high up on the radars of many baseball fans. But you should at least be familiar with him. Because you never know what he could do. In that climate, with the Diamondbacks having the history they have with their developing their outfielders. And when I mean developing outfielders, I mean David Peralta, A.J. Pollock. They're great. And it looks like we are coming to an end on Inside MLB. Make sure to tune in on Wednesday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Check out our website at MLBinside.com for articles that I rate on the daily for the days that I'm not doing the show. I'll see you Wednesday, 7:30 to 8:30. My name is Benson Fector, and spring training, a tradition starts tomorrow.